This Sunday.
Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them.
Here!
Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture.
Gas!
Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves.
Thrilled
to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Sunday!
I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had a one long horn and one big eye. Like a Mr. Shaking in the city. It looked like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horn flying.
Oh, yeah, one-eyed, one-horn. Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show. Talking about my co-host, Chris, over there. Kind of looks a little weird this morning. I don't know, so we kind of call misery sees him. How are you, Chris?
Doing well on this fine upstanding crisp Sunday. It's a lot of fun right here in the Nutmeg State. All the leaves are turning. You know, I have to laugh. When the leaves turn and they start to fall, I told my daughter, I said, you know what they're doing? They're doing this. They're going, ah! They're all dying.
Did you tell her like this? When the leaves turn and they start to fall, and the ocean's cool, and the algae comes, and then we get oil. Now, well, listen, it's an inside joke. You'd have to be around for a few years to understand what we're talking about.
Right, it's totally inside Motormouth humor. When the leaves turn brown,
right,
and they begin to fall, and we have another 57 minutes of a show to do, and this is how it's going to be.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what else is going on today. Not only our fine show, but there's other fine shows. You know,
God, I hope so.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I hope this isn't the only fine show going on.
No, you know, you can
tell me.
Well, remember, we had Elliot and Dennis on from the T-Bird Club, and they're having their car show today out east. We have, you go to motormouthradio.com, you'll see a banner for that. You'll see a link for it. And also at the Tobey Beach is the Town of Hempstead car show today. Town of Oyster Bay, I'm sorry. That's
right.
The Tobey show, which is going on right now. And it's featuring
Tobey today. Got it.
Tobey today. Tobey all week, right? Featuring classic muscle, exotic cars, 4x4s, you know, food trucks, all sorts of crazy stuff.
Today.
This is one of the last shows of the season. There's only a few left. Displays, music by The Mystic, which is a great band. And you can find WHPC. They're down there. We have a staff at the show. They're down near the band shell till about 2:30. So stop in, say hi, and get yourself some WHPC memorabilia. And call the show. Tell us what you like. 516-572-7440. And, of course, follow us on social media. We're Motormouth Radio on the web, on Twitter, and on Faccia Brutta, which is Facebook for most non-Italians.
And, I like to say Faccia Libre.
Well, there you go. And we're real_Motormouth Radio, if you follow Joe, on Instagram, which is the one I like to use best. Been a little quiet this week, but I have more stuff to do, so we'll catch up.
An announcement, I'd like to say.
Okay.
To all of our automotive brethren out there, please, I just want to highly recommend all y'all to stop building alters. Stop with these modified cars unless you have an unimaginable amount of wealth. Or what would you say? You have a machine shop at your disposal, mm-hmm. or you have no wife or kids or a home. Stop building alters. Because I swear to you, I've been looking for like a project car, and I'm on Facebook Marketplace, and I can't tell you, Ray, how many people have taken apart vehicles and have started welding and building these Frankensteins, and then get halfway through the project and then want to shovel it over to some other unsuspecting person for like $20,000. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm not showing up with a dump truck to your and clean your garage and give you money for your crazy, wacky project, these delusions that you had in your mind 6 months ago. You took this perfectly good car apart. And it just makes me crazy. And I have to laugh because not only do they put a picture of the first, they put a picture of the car complete when they didn't put their grubby hands on it. So you go, oh, that's a nice looking car. Wipe the dust off it. Oh, no. Then the next few pictures are them like after a six pack of beer with their friends, ripping the living God knows what. Tearing the heck out of this thing. And then they're like, we went too far. Oh, right. Wait, the kids have to go to Cub Scouts. Oh, wait, we gotta paint the refrigerator. No, it's, and then they have to sell this ungodly mess to people like you and I. And I'm like, stop it already. Just wipe the car down, drive it around, and that's it. Don't listen to these knuckleheads that are telling you to build an altered or build some sort of sleeper with a Hemi in it. Ugh, makes me nuts. That's it. I'm done.
I guess so. All right. So with that, let's take a phone call. Let's go to the phones, go to the fun, say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good, Skip. What's happening today?
I got this altered I want to sell, and I heard this is the place to go.
Keep it.
Well, on the lighter side of the news, I figured I'd give you an update on the lift repair scenario.
Okay.
After going back and forth and forth and back, I found a guy. I called him. We've been playing phone tag for the last 3-4 weeks. He's coming. He's not coming. He says he's going to come. He doesn't show up. Finally, I get a guy. He comes on Wednesday. Now, he's in the process of trying to take the lift apart, the cylinder apart. And the way this cylinder is mounted under the ramp on the front side of it, it's in a welded bracket where it's got a drift pin through the middle with a cotter pin on either side. Now, the obvious thing would be to take the cotter pins out, slide the drift pin out, and pull the cylinder straight back. That's after disconnecting all the cables and everything else. Well, we got to that point, and he pushed the pin out, and now the pin is up against the guide for the pulley where the cable runs under the ramp. Now, supposedly there's a bung on the bottom of the ramp where you would put a bolt in, so he says, and you pull it down and it actually pulls that guide out and you can remove the pulley and what have you. Well, not so much in this particular lift. It didn't work. No matter what we tried, couldn't get the guide out. So there's no way to get that pin out now, which means there's no way to get the whole cylinder out now, unless you want to cut the pin and then you're stuck when you want to reinstall it. So the long of it and short of it was he had to take the back part of the cylinder apart, unscrew it, take it all apart, and then proceed to pull the ram out of the housing, which has the seal on it and the guide, Teflon guide and so forth. Then he took that away on Wednesday, and he said he'd be back Thursday, Friday. You sit around all day. You wait for somebody to show up. They never come. Finally, Friday, I called, and it's, oh, gee, I just got the part in today. I'll be rebuilding it. Yeah, I probably won't get to you maybe on Monday.
You know what this sounds like? I worked on a car a couple of years ago. It was a Toyota, and I had to do the rear brakes, and I had to get the caliper off. And one of the bolts, you couldn't – it was supposed to just slide out, but it slid out and hit a control arm. And it would come out an inch and hit the control arm. Now, there's no way to get it out to get that caliper off unless you took the control arm off. And what I found was it was assembled wrong. And it was assembled in a wrong order. It had something to do with that. Oh, I know what it was. It was the control arm was whacked up too. This sounds kind of like that. It sounds like when it was originally assembled, it was assembled wrong or out of sequence and then, you know, put together kind of backwards.
Well, I think it might be correct from the way he described you're supposed to pull that pin down. I did send you some pictures on your cell phone this morning. But that couldn't move. Now, whether that's frozen because it's rusted or whatever else, because I guess there's got to be a way to get that pulley out. I don't know that the pulley would go bad, but there had to be a way to assemble it originally, you know, to get
right.
it to that point.
Right.
So I'm assuming the pulleys were out when they put the ram in. Then they had to put the pulleys in. So it would be a reverse process, I would assume, and you know what happens when we assume things, that, wow. you know, you'd be able to get it out that way. But, again, there's always the finer point of just pulling the ram out of the cylinder itself, which I was a little concerned about because I said, now, when you put this in, it's going to be on a little angle when you're coming from the back of the lift because it's really out at the end of the,
yeah.
the ramp. And if that's a lip seal, you take the chance of just nicking that. All you need is a little garring at it all, and you're going to piss fluid out the other end again.
That's true, yeah.
So
yeah.
he assured me that that's not going to be the case, that
okay.
it's going to line up and it's going to go in fine, and that the Teflon on the seal on that also aligns it and pulls it straight in, and the lip seal actually goes back the other way, so you're going in with the lip facing back toward you.
Yeah.
So time will tell. We'll see what happens when he does assemble it, and if it does go in without any issue and then holds fluid and works, but...
Yeah.
Nothing's without, time and effort. It's just, everything is a chore around here,
yeah.
you know? It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. That's frustrating when that happens because now you're fighting, you know, something that should be simple now becomes very difficult, which is kind of the world we end up living in these days.
Everything
well,
needs your undivided attention.
Out this too, because I was going to buy just a replacement cylinder thinking it might be cheaper for me in the long run. And had I done that, I'd be stuck. I wouldn't be able to put it back in.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I wouldn't be able to get the old one out, so yeah. I don't know. But
so you're actually on the better side of the problem now because you got somebody else involved who knows what they're doing, and you didn't make a bad step. So
perfectly, yes.
Good, yeah.
And I
yeah.
told him the same thing. I said, you know, it's a good thing that I didn't try to do this on my own. I mean, I would have flummoxed it around and I would have finally gotten it done, but it's a whole different aspect looking at you and watching you do it and
yeah.
knowing how you're proceeding with it. You know?
Exactly. All right. Well, good luck with that, Skip. Hopefully it'll all work its way out and you'll be back in business by the middle of the week sometime.
Hopefully so. We'll keep you posted on it.
All right. Thanks.
Take care.
All right. Talk to you later.
See you,
bye-bye.
Skip.
Bye-bye, Chris.
All right. That's you know, it's kind of funny. You can give us a call, too, and talk 516-572-7440. Yesterday, I got myself involved in something. A good friend of ours, Mike, my friend Chip, calls the show. He's been on the show with us. He is in
the
sure.
past.
And this is going back about a month. He got himself a moped. Right? A Pook moped. And the cool thing is, it had been in a woman's garage. It was her father's, and he bought it right. brand new in 1977.
Oh my gosh!
He
wow,
rode it around.
It's one of those.
He put like 1,600 miles on this thing.
Holy smokes!
And parked it, and then didn't use it again ever. And then it just, you know, then the father passed away. So she threw it out on the curb. Mike sees it. He picks it up. Says, "Hey, this will be cool to play around with, right?"
So he got it. He won it, basically. He
yeah,
didn't pay for it.
Yeah. So it ended up that the grandson started to take the rear wheel off. There were pieces missing, and he's asking me for help. I'm like, I don't know. What do I know about mopeds? I know nothing about mopeds. But he went to the garage, and lo and behold, in the garage, in the cabinets and toolboxes, he found all the parts. She had the original, not only the grandson took off, found the had the original manual for this thing. I mean, it is like really got some provenance to it.
So,
right?
So he went and took this moped off the side of the curb, and then rang the doorbell and was able to raid this woman's garage for the rest of the parts.
Yeah, because she's a neighbor. She's only about five doors down, and he kind of knows
so
everybody.
They kind of knew each other, I hope.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I was going to say that's ballsy, but nice.
So the problem was, of course, it hasn't run now in 40 years. And the varnish, the smell of, we'll get to that, but the varnish smell, because it was just parked. Now, the problem is, those things, the gas tank is part of the down tube of the bike. It's not a removable thing. So he cleaned it the best he could. He bought a new carburetor and some other ancillary components. And so I was able to stop over there yesterday. And we're looking at it, and I said, wow, man, the varnish smell was, it's like, and I said to him, this is like every garage I went in when I was a kid. Now, when I was a kid, lawnmowers.
Well, my garage now.
Yeah, the lawnmowers that were left in garages then were the real type. The two wheels with the big blade that they show you in a horror movie, you're going to chop the guy's head.
What was the blade again?
Like that. Yes. And they had a Briggs & Stratton side shaft engine on them. You know, these were the lawnmowers, wooden handles. Because they were probably from the 50s, you know, and I was bumping around in the, you know, early, you know, late 60s, early 70s in garages for stuff. And every garage smelled like varnish.
Yep.
Because of these, they were parked with fuel in them. So, of course, we just wanted the Briggs & Stratton engine to make a mini bike out of or a go-kart. But, so anyway, all day, I working on this thing, and he had the carburetor hanging by a cable. And he couldn't figure out how to get it out of the top of the carburetor.
That's not the optimum installation procedure, but okay, well, I'm going with
it. Now, the carb is kind of made like an SU or a Zenith, like you had on your TR6.
Oh, wow. More heartbreaking.
Well, where it has a piston inside with a needle on it that raises in and out. So the throttle control raises that piston in and out.
Okay.
So there was a nut on it. You know, on top, but you couldn't get it out. So I said, okay, I took the top of the carburetor off, looked inside, took the piston out. Now it's all hanging from the cable. And I saw that the cable had a little lead end swaged on it.
Okay. It's like working on a Christmas ornament when it's still on the tree.
Exactly. But now I'm working in the varnish, and it's like I'm just smelling all the varnish. So that went through the spring, through the piston, and when I turned it upside down, I could see that it went up into a little hole, and then you move it to the side, and it locks it in place.
I like your hand gestures.
Yes, that's how.
Yes, you do. Very very erotic. Yes.
So the only reason I elaborated on that is because it was kind of an intricate procedure, and you know, Mike is watching me right over my shoulder, and he says, "Wow," he says, "I got to say," he says, "that was just like," I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said something to the effect of, "You know, how did you know to do that?" And I said, "I didn't know to do that." He goes, "Well, but you got it done." I said, "Well, this is where, Mike, your experience from working on everything else in the world that you've ever worked on funnels down to this laser focus of this one thing in your hand. And you say, okay, how does it work? How do I take it apart?" And I said,
"Agreed."
That's just the experience you gain by working on things. Right. So it was kind of interesting because he said, yeah, you know, that's the beauty of working with other people. You get to see what they know and how they do things. We're all surgeons. We just have maybe different tools and different techniques. We're not talking about yours. That's your surgery.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're talking to me about
this? So anyway, we got the thing apart, put it back, got the new carburetor in there, put it back together, did a few other things on the bike, and I went home. I cleaned my hands like four times, and I still smelled like varnish.
Doesn't help.
Now, the problem, there's not really a problem with that because, you know, I could smell like 90 weight on a given day. I could reek of brake fluid. So varnish is just...
I was going to say, your family is very patient. Patient people.
Varnish is just one more scent in my medicine cabinet of colognes. You know, it's no big deal.
You're right. If it doesn't burn your cuticles... Yeah, it's not worth it.
Right. But the problem was we had an affair to go to last night, my wife and I.
Even better. Good timing.
I had a 50th reunion for one of the schools I attended, and we had to go out and mingle with all these people I haven't seen in a long time. So I'm like scrubbing my hands. So, and I have to tell you this was really the payoff. I haven't seen these people, except for my friend Tom, I mean, because I keep in touch with him. I saw some of these people about 12 years ago at a smaller reunion, but I'm talking with a couple of these guys, and it ends up, John Schnauz, great friend that I knew from years ago, and then my friend Jimmy Healy, it ends up, we have a degree of separation to this guy, Jim. He was our friend Frank from the Centurion Cruises.
Right.
He's Frank's partner.
Oh, well.
So, and I had known that. So, but Jim has said, yeah, he was sitting there talking in a small group. You know, the groups keep changing. You're moving out people. And a third guy came in, my friend, another guy, Rich Guilfoyle came in. So Jim says, hey, you know, hey, when was the last time you talked to Ray? And because Jim is very personable. And Rich is like, I haven't talked to him, in, you know, forever. I don't know, since we were eight. He goes, hey, you know, he does a radio show. You should listen to him on the radio. And I turned to him and said, what?
You mean you didn't know that Jim knew you do the show?
Has he ever called?
No.
Has he ever emailed? Has he ever? No. I said, Jim, you listen to the show? He goes, yeah. He goes, look, I'm not a car guy. I'm not into cars. He says, but I listen to college radio. He goes, and I found it. He goes, and I recognized your name. He goes, and then I knew who you are. And he actually talked to Frank, and Frank talked. He goes, so, you know, I'll give you the listen because I know
and he
you.
He still listened, even though he recognized your name.
Yeah, I said,
listened.
Hey. Wow. And then, well, then Rich says to the other guy, he says, oh, yeah, I listen to you, too. And I'm like, are you I said, all right, where's the camera? This is a joke. This is because some of these guys, some of the other guys were really jokesters. You're at a reunion, you don't recognize people. They had button. They gave everybody a button with their picture from eighth grade, you know. And one guy kept giving everybody, telling everybody he was somebody else. And everybody's believing him because we haven't seen him in 100 years. So this other guy, Rich.
I love it.
Who lived around a block from me, says, yeah, he listens too. I'm like, you too? You got to be kidding me. I'm like, why don't you knuckleheads ever call? He said, if you listen, you know, we'll take phone calls from just about anybody. So, sure. So I gave him my card. I said, hey, don't be a stranger. And you don't have to really be into cars. You don't have to be working on this stuff. Everybody has a car. They have to go in for service. There's got to be a question you have. When should I change my oil? What brake pad should I use? Or whatever. I said,
but you know how this works, right? Because the second you give him a card and the second you tell him to call and they go, oh, yeah, we're going to call. What do?
They
never call.
Well, they haven't yet, so, you know.
So I say, prove me wrong.
Right.
And they never do.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring this up, because if Jim, Rich, and John, even if John tuned in, you guys are listening, feel free to call and talk to us. We don't have to talk about reunions. We can talk about, you know, anything.
Oh, no, I want to talk about, you know, Ray Guarino 50 years ago. No, definitely.
Well, I'll tell you one more little story from this, and then we'll go away from it. I saw a girl there that, of course, many of
I love when the story starts this way. Now I'm listening.
And I kept telling my wife, I'm like, you see that girl over? I'm like, girl, they're all like 65 years old. I'm like, they're not girls. But I'm seeing them as like little.
Yeah, you see them as teenagers.
And some of them look exactly like they did almost, you know, back then.
Wow.
Well, I was talking to this one woman, and apparently, maybe it was fourth or fifth, I don't know, I was like madly in love with her. I had a crazy crush on her, and she probably didn't give me the time of day. But she said to me, she says, do you remember, she says, I think it was in fourth grade, you wrote the most beautiful note and card to me. And, you know, it started with, you know, how do I love thee? Let me count. I said, yeah, that was Sir Wadsworth Longfellow. I said, the one I plagiarized? I'm like, I can remember sitting in the living room copying that out of a book.
Just to interrupt you 1 second. You do write the best cards possible. So let's just get that. You'd never in a million years know it, but getting a card from Ray is truly, I save every one of them.
Well, thank you.
That's what that way.
You know, that's another trend. So, but I told her, I said, you know, I still do write cards and notes and letters. I do take enjoyment in doing that.
You've got me into doing it now. You've raised my bar. Oh, cool. I have to do that now.
But the fact she said,
you do it so well. Yes.
The fact she said, I've saved them all these years.
Her and I have to talk.
That's what my wife said. Yeah, we got to talk. I was like, okay, that's a little interesting now. That's interesting. But you know, my friend Kevin saves the stuff too. And the reason why I channeled my inner Swizz a lot of times, many times with Kevin, I would, and I tried doing this for other people, but I'm not as fluent as you are. You know, I like to draw like you do. You do it more often and you're better at it. But I would draw car stuff for him, like a GTO, whatever, and then put it on the envelope of the car. I found out he's got them pinned up on his bulletin board. He saved them on a bulletin. Like, oh no.
That's awesome.
Oh,
Kevin
no.
is awesome.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Be proud, my brother. Oh, yeah. I have friends that I would draw like little doodles. We'd be sitting around the house, and I would just have there would be always at the ready. There would be a pencil and a pad, whatever, and I would just start drawing. And I have friends that say, yeah, they've cut out those drawings and stick them on a tool bench wall or whatever have you. Oh, yeah. It's to me, it's like the ultimate form of flattery.
Well, and I'm happy to say I have two of your masterpieces in my house. The ones that I browbeat you to do for me for many, many
yes.
years. But you did, and I have them both framed. I have one down by my desk in the basement. I have another one up in my den. And people have commented like, hey, wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, that's an original. That's an original Switzer. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a, if you didn't hang out in Soho, you wouldn't know who he is. So. I said, you got to hang out on the block, and then you'll know who this guy is.
On the block.
Then you know who this guy is. Otherwise, yeah, you wouldn't know.
But. And I'm still humbled and flattered at the same time that you still have them gracing your walls, and no one has used them as a dartboard or anything like that. Well, I don't know now.
I don't know. So I'll tell you, just to jump back, working on these mopeds, I never did in a day. I never had any reason to. I never wanted to know about a moped because I was either driving, hot rods or motorcycles. And I tell you, man, everything is in such a compact package on those things. It's like a little, like a motorcycle scaled down, but it's scaled down to like this efficiency of scale to the nth degree because they don't have the architecture. And I have a newfound respect for the guys that design these things because they're really, the older ones, at least like that, were made of metal and, not a lot of plastic. There is some. But
I remember those, the PUCH, right? Pooks.
Right, right. And now my friend TJ has one the year after that. And it's funny, he even said to me, he sent me a picture of his. He says, like, every year they changed. And I'm looking at Mike 77 and TJ 78, and they look totally different. Totally.
Wow.
It's like maybe they had a new designer every year, like, do their thing on them, for paint and whatever.
I mean, if you think about the tooling costs and the money that's spent to redesign a vehicle every year.
I think a lot of it was more like paint and graphics. The main architecture, I think, stayed the same. The engine was a little tiny two-stroke engine on this thing, And TJ said, yeah, mine was frozen. He's like, pull the, it's like a lawnmower. You pull the head off, but the head isn't really a head. It's just, it is a head, but it's valve in block. So it's like a flathead.
Right.
So he said, he sprayed some stuff in the cylinder, worked the piston, made it move, put the head back on. Moved it a few times, boom, it fired up. unless they're totally like underwater, you'll get them to go.
Right, so. Seized to the point where it's just now one fused piece of metal.
We were talking about that and how to get certain things off. He has a couple fasteners, and I said, Mike, I said, you need an inductor. Because we were talking about that, how to get a few things out, and I said, I have a tool that will do this. I don't remember exactly what he was talking about. But I said, if we need, I'll bring it over and we'll take care of this. But so that was that was kind of an oddball thing yesterday that I spent a couple hours. I came home reeking of varnish, and it's like 90 weight oil when you crack a main bearing or you spill the 90 weight from the rear end in the lawn and you roll into it with your hair. It's there for a while. You remember smell.
I'm sure that
you cannot get that smell out of you. Like I said, that it just flooded back, 60 years came back into my head. Like, wow, I remember the smell of this varnish.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing. I learned a little more about fuels. In the early days, the fuel we had, the leaded fuel, had an additive in it that would keep it volatile longer.
Sure.
But if it was left to sit, the gasoline, the ethanol component would eventually gas out, and what you were left with were all those additives. That's what the varnish is.
Mm-hmm.
So today, if you do that with your car now, the ethanol leaves the car in a couple of, 2 months, it's gone. It evaporates. You don't get the varnish, but if you have that mixture of fuels and things, you'll get that GAC that's in the bottom, like when your TR6, when you took those fuel bowls off, you'll get stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. And that was the only time it was this lumpy, it was like lumpy honey.
Yeah, honey looking, honey oatmeal, kind of crazy looking.
Yeah, it really was. I never saw anything like that before or since.
Right.
But when I did the fuel injectors on the Explorer, you had a fuel rail, and that fuel rail holds, what, about a pint?
Maybe 100 cc, 200 cc, something like that,
Yeah, it's a surprising amount that sits in that, and it stays in there until you pop one of the fuel, you could try and pour it out with the fuel injector still attached to it. Nothing right. comes out. But the second you pop one of those fuel injectors off, yep. like you've created that, you've like you've opened up the valve.
That's basically. That's why Smokey Unick ran a half inch fuel line in his mm-hmm. car, because he knew, and you know that's a function of calculus. You can make the equation, because you look at the cross-sectional area of the tube. You know, we're not going to get into the numbers here, but you can basically, if you took a regular fuel line that was, say, you know, 5/16, so 3/8, and then the one that was half inch, it's exponentially larger, the amount of fuel that line holds per yes. foot. Or so that's what he just knew. That was another way of cheating. Like, I'll put a bigger fuel line in, I'll hold more right. fuel than the next guy.
And yep. you'd be surprised how much fuel that simple fuel rail holds. So I had right. one of those ashtrays with the magnet on the bottom of them. It's like a tool hole, like yes. a hardware holder. And I had that conveniently right there. So I popped one of the fuel injectors, and now the fuel starts pouring out, and I just hold it over that. And it filled that oh, yeah. small ashtray of it just filled it almost to the top.
Sure, sure.
Of gasoline. But I left it there. Like, every once in a while, I would stick a fuel injector in there just to lubricate it before I installed it. And I left it there on the tool bench, and it evaporated within like 3 days. And within 5 days, like you said, it had that varnish butter at yeah. the bottom of the what would you say, bowl.
Right, right.
So, yeah, and it evaporated instantly.
Funny, it's funny you say that, because we're at the bottom of the bowl here, too. It's now the bottom of the hour.
We evaporated half the show.
We did, and we got to take care of a little bit of business. I got to tell you, it is 58 degrees out now. It's very nice, sunny. It's going to be in the 60s all day.
Maybe and, by you. It's subtract 10 degrees, well, and that's what's happening up here.
That's your problem. that's what you
tell
deal
me
with.
About it.
Right. It'll be clear tonight. Going to be in the 40s. It's, yeah, we're getting into that time of year. It's a nice time. This is when people want to come back to New York, because it's a real nice time of year. If you like that kind of weather, you know, if you're mm-hmm. not.
Well, people come up here. They go apple picking. They look at trees
that are
falling off and dying.
Yeah.
Leaves are committing suicide up here. People
right.
like to watch.
Right. I'll be doing that myself, too. My wife and I want to go up and do some apple picking. But I have to say that you want to tune into this station Tuesday, October 11th. That's this week. You can join hosts of the WHPC Sports Talk as they broadcast live from the Irish Poet Restaurant and Bar on Wantagh Avenue, Wantagh. We play their spot. I think we just played it last hour, in fact.
I think we did.
It's a special two-hour show as they preview the Division Series rounds of baseball. And, you know, everybody's talking about baseball right now, Mets and Yankees and whatever, as right. well as the start of the NHL hockey season. They'll be live on the air from 4 to 6 on October 11th. That's Tuesday. So listen on air live, or feel free to join them at the Irish Poet. You can go down and see these guys for what should be a great time. I don't know who's going to be there. I don't know who the host will be.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go down there and in fine HPC fashion, you can heckle them like you do to us. Hey, you know those Motormouth guys? They're real idiots. Yeah. How's that? Who's playing the game? What's going on? What's the score? Come on, Frankie. What's happening? Come on. I don't know. Anyway, so
that was good. That was another slice of life. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Another slice of life that we always like to celebrate this time of the day is the Motograph. Yeah, the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
Do you, yes, we do.
And have you got one today?
I certainly have one, and I have a honor group as well. The Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour this week. If you find one of the fluids in your classic vehicle surprisingly low, have you ever checked the power steering pump to find the reservoir almost empty, but there's no leaks on the garage floor or any sign of a leak? Have you ever checked the brake master cylinder and found one of the chambers maybe half full? So you scramble around the car looking at the inside of every tire for maybe where it could have leaked out from a wheel cylinder and find nothing. It just simply vanished. Have you ever checked the oil and found it a quart low, but it was full 2 weeks ago? No leaks on the floor. Where could it have gone? Did it get burned off? Do you have to contemplate a complete engine rebuild? So if you've ever had to deal with vanishing vital fluids in your classic car, then you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah, we've all gone through that.
And mind you, this never happens on your daily driver, only on your classic car.
Yeah. Something else, this break is basically dedicated to your cousin-in-law, Pat. Because Pat actually, I asked Pat for some song suggestions about a week ago. I didn't get to play him. But, you know, there was one that he threw out that I knew he thought was going to try and stump everybody in the room, and I knew who it was.
Okay.
And I actually have that song on CD, so we're
busy. Is it? Huh? I think I know which one you're talking about.
It's from a good doctor.
It's from a good doctor.
Now, I'm not playing Little GTO or Little LA from Pasadena. No, those are the common ones. He threw out a song. He said a name of a song that a term you'd hear in every operating room across the country at one time or another. And I knew who it was because I was a member of the Dr. Demento fan club, and I am a fan of the good doctor. So I came right back at him, and the look on his face, you don't stump that guy too often. I'll tell you this, you don't. But he said the name. I shot right back, and his face went, huh?
And I said, really? Yeah. You mean, is it the Nervous song?
Yes, Nervous.
Okay.
So let's all take a transfusion right now, and we'll be back with more. Motor Mouth Radio with Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer in just a couple of minutes after we pay some bills on 90.3 WHPC. Take it, Mr. Norvis.
Tooling down the highway doing 79. I'm a twin pipe popper and I'm feeling fine. Hey, man, dig that. Was that a red stop sign?
Show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller here.
Everybody on a Sunday, work on your car and listen to the show.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Chris, I didn't get to chat with you.
This is a great show. I'm checking off all the boxes.
Motor Mouth.
Hey, I don't mess with stock. Stock stinks.
He was under a car or under somebody else's car.
I wanted to commend you on your selection of music.
Motor Mouth.
Cars are for driving, not for eating it.
Even if Ray is talking to Chris on the phone.
Motor Mouth.
In the same room, I'm doing my show.
Get some advice on getting my lawnmower to start up.
Our trained staff of two will help.
And typically, we don't work on that kind of car.
Yeah, I was going to call in, and your guest mentioned my dilemma.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Every Sunday, 12 o'clock, my phone goes, Motor Mouth Radio.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
Nobody knows your car's like you.
Ray was here early, but then he had to go through this thing that he does on Sundays.
And what do you have, like 9 people listening to you right now?
Motor Mouth!
Millions of listeners, 9 paying attention.
Hush your mouth and play some more good music.
You just went for 2+ hours on Thursday talking about cars and stuff. I want to see you do 2 minutes. Because you are a motor mouth, my friend.
I am a motor mouth.
Let's face it.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motor Mouth.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by
Haunted House of Hamburgers.
A new year-round Halloween experience opening October 25th, located at 330 Fulton Street, Route 109 in Farmingdale. Their menu includes burgers, fries, shakes, and more. Every day at Haunted House of Hamburgers is Halloween, so feel free to come dressed in costume. Featuring a horror queue BBQ every 13th and 31st of the month. More information is available at 516-777-1031 or online at hhamburgers.com.
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
transfusion. I'm a real gone pale face, and that's no illusion. I'm a never, never, never gonna speed again.
What do you think?
Pass the claret to me, Barrett.
I think that's perfect.
You know, this is really a good car song.
It really is. Nervous, nervous, transfusion.
Dig this stuff. I mean, you can't make this up.
Transfusion, transfusion. Oh, Doc, pardon me for this crazy intrusion. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. Pump the fluid in me, Louie. I'm burning up the freeway.
Pump the fluid in me, Louie. Yes, nervous, nervous. And that was one that, you know, that was one of those things. There's certain songs that we all have burned in our brains from way back when. And like I said, when Pat said transfusion, I'm nervous, nervous. And he was like, what? Like, yeah. You know,
I got him too because he was so ready to have stumped the band. Meanwhile, we're singing the same song at the same time, knowing all the words.
Right.
He's like, you know this, so, and who doesn't?
It was a bad night for a certain Camaro owner, so far as musicality goes. He had the wrong duet in front of him.
Exactly.
He didn't realize the force of nature that was intruding his kitchen.
That's for sure.
So anyway, if you want to intrude our kitchen, give us a call, 516-572-7440. We'll be happy to talk to you about your car repair, your ceiling fan, your washer and dryer. This is what I was telling the guys last night at the reunion. You name it. I mean, we fix it all. I got to fix my dryer again. It's back on.
What?
Yeah, you know, I noticed that when I had it apart for the, the no flame issue, that the there's a gasket around the back of the drum and there's a felt seal in the front. And the gasket in the back was kind of parts that were coming apart. Now my wife's saying she's finding pieces that in with the clothes. Parts. I thought it was just like car parts. The $200 I spent on a water pump and a tensioner this week, which is driving me crazy.
That's crazy. Wow.
I know.
200 clams on a water pump?
I wanted the GM part because on these engines, the 1.4 liter Ecotec turbo, they recommend the powers that be who are smarter than me recommend as often as you can stick with the factory parts because there's a whole argument, is factory parts better than aftermarket? But in this case, I think they are because what they did is they had a lot of problems with the engines and they redesigned the parts that were problematic to stop that problem. And you don't know if the aftermarket used the early design or the later design when they made their own.
Right.
So, I had to pony up.
A very short time ago, a very good friend of mine had a problem with the 429 caddy motor, where he ordered a water pump from probably some, who knows, from the internet, and it showed up, and it looked kind of like the right one, but the bolt holes didn't line up. He needed to go to a Cadillac parts guy who dealt in Cadillac parts and bought an NOS water pump for the car and spent over $700 for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
And this was something that we spoke about back, I think, in the spring, where you had showed me a picture of a 64 Caddy convertible that had a Chevy 350 engine in it.
Correct.
Someone pulled the Caddy mill and dropped a Chevy small block in there.
Yep.
And I thought that was blasphemous.
Yep.
Up until the point I heard my friend who has a 67 Caddy with the 429 having to do a water pump issue, having a water pump issue with it and spending a boatload of cash to get that car to operate once again because of that Caddy motor. When a Chevy, if you're replacing a water pump on a Chevy 350, you can find them in Walmart.
I got them at 7-Eleven, The thing is, well, funny you say that. Funny you say that because I'm looking for this gasket and there's an appliance repair place I use online. They're in the Midwest somewhere.
Oh, you're back on the dryer.
The dryer, yeah. And I look it up, and I find this. It's just a seal that goes around the back of the drum, and you glue it on. $57.
Wow.
It's like, what? I'm expecting $20, you know?
Yeah, that.
Well, I used their site to get the part number. So now I Google the part number to get a better search, right?
Get a better price.
And the first one that comes up is Walmart. Now, I said, okay, well, we're not going to look at that one. And I'll tell you why, because I've seen this through the years where Walmart comes right up or some other generic store comes up and you're looking for a specific thing.
Right.
So, and actually, I was looking at power probe stuff and an Autel scanner years ago and Walmart comes up. So I said, you know what? I went to the store. I said, I'm going to see. I can't see them having an Autel scanner or a PowerProp. And they didn't. So I'm thinking, okay, so it's a scam. Somehow Walmart's just getting into the top of the list. They're paying, you know, they're getting up there.
The algorithm is sending it there. Sure.
So I learned my lesson. But this time, I looked through other repair part places, and they were all around $50-something dollars for this gasket.
Really?
So I said, let me click the Walmart. Because I went to an Amazon link that was also like $40-something dollars. I'm like, wow, I thought I'd get the best deal at Amazon. Amazon had the seal, but not the glue of all things, right? And it said it's a high temp automotive glue. I'm like, automotive glue. Oh, great.
You gotta be kidding.
So I go to the Walmart link, and of course they show the part with the glue, and it was like $18.
Get out.
And I said, all right, here we go. I said, but you know what? I was in the mood to play. I said, I was tired of getting played with, so I was in the mood to play. I said, let me see. Add to cart. Okay. I go to the cart, I check, there it is, for $18, and it was like another $2 for shipping, whatever, $19.94 this thing comes out. I said, okay, do you want it shipped, pick it up at the store? No, ship it to me. Okay, no shipping.
A splurge.
The order goes in, goes through, I get an email that it's done, I'm waiting to see what comes in for now for $19 from Walmart. Well, just to back up.
Right.
I think I found out where I was wrong with this whole thing, because there was in the Walmart ad, there was a link. I forget what it said, but there was a link to the seller, kind of like what Amazon does. It was a third party seller. And when I clicked it, it took me to a appliance repair place.
Oh,
so
wow.
So maybe this really isn't a scam. Maybe people can list stuff with Walmart. They'll ship it from their end. And I'm thinking, wow, maybe now I'm onto something for finding stuff that I thought was just BS. Maybe it's not.
Maybe so, it's not.
I
should
see if he had a water pump.
You should have got it right. You should have bought the water pump for the cruise through Walmart.
Right.
And you probably would have got the water pump for $18.
So now in the future, I won't discount that Walmart link. I'm going to look into it because, you know, like I said, when it was an Amazon link, I said, okay, fine. Yeah, I know Amazon uses third-party sellers. There's not a problem
sure.
with that.
But Amazon's not always the best price.
No, it's not. It's not. That's why you have to look around. You have to.
Yeah, it used to be. Not anymore.
And like I do that with Rock. I look at Rock Auto, look at CarParts.com. And sometimes the part is a great price, but the shipping is ridiculous.
The shipping ruins the part savings.
Exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And
totally
so I always have, you know, three or four or five screens open looking at all these different places, and I try to make up my mind, you know. So anyway.
Well, that's what I love about this tracker, that I'm starting to track down my vacuum leak in the tracker. But right. I was able to buy parts for it at almost like super duper discount prices. I got an IAC valve from Amazon for $23. I got a throttle position sensor from Amazon for $13.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, they're probably giving these things away because who's buying them?
Well, again, it could be, like you said, somebody who has it in stock that wants to get rid of it. Third-party seller, and they had, you know, now it's kind of out of date. It's like, you know, how many trackers are on the road? So they figure, okay, we'll just get rid of this thing. You know, we'll just dump it. Give me something so instead of nothing. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm very pleased, but I'm still searching for I'm still trying to chase that vacuum leak in the tracker, and it's become now an ordeal. But we'll get it done because it's just a simple. This is just one of those simple problems that just won't go away.
Right.
It's really that's it. I mean, the car just idles high. It runs fine. It runs smooth. It idles well. It just idles at 1,500 RPM.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't drop.
Those vacuum leaks really suck. They do. It's terrible.
Yeah. So it trips that PO507 code that says that it's running a little too high. It's not dropping down to the to the closed loop idle of like 900 or whatever.
The problem is too, I thought about this more in depth, that's not the best problem to use a smoke machine on, because the vacuum is pulling air in. The smoke machine lets air out.
Good point. That's why my smoke machine isn't working then. Because I built the greatest smoke machine ever.
It's called a Cubana. I know. It's like it's El Monte Cristo. I have those at home, too. It's very good.
And I can barbecue up the wazoo with this thing.
But you can use that around the external extremities and see if the smoke gets sucked in. Use it in reverse.
That's a great idea.
Use it in reverse.
Look at the big brain on Ray. Right.
And that's exactly, wow. See, but that's exactly what we do when we use a can of carburetor cleaner or brake cleaner spray. The spray gets sucked into the vacuum leak, seals it for a second, and then the idle will stabilize until right. it pulls it all in, and then it jumps again. So you would just do it with whatever kind of smoke you're making. I don't even know if I want to know what you're doing over there. I don't know.
The neighbors are complaining.
Dougie sent me a Cheech and Chong video last night. I'm like, okay, there's a smoke machine for you. Thanks, Doug. I appreciate it.
And even I sprayed the heck out of all the connections with the diagnostic fluid, aka carburetor cleaner. and yeah, just it, for some reason, I'm not seeing the vacuum leak. I'm really not. So I'm just. Now I'm really throwing things at it. I went and bought a couple of lengths of hose. I went to go buy some hosiery.
Yeah.
At my local Napa store.
Nice.
And so now I'm going to start just cutting up vacuum lines and replacing them. That's really
right.
it.
Right.
We'll start with that and see if that works. Because that has saved my bacon a couple of times before in my vast automotive career where you look at the hose and go, the hose is fine. But then you just go and replace it. Just completely out of the realm of replacing
microscopically.
It. And all of a sudden, the car wakes right up. You're like, holy smokes, that was it.
They can leak microscopically. Joe just sent me a text that I see you remember from a certain Mazda. We were chasing a leak on my Mazda 3. And what it was a fitting that had a hose on it. And we found it finally. And it drove us nuts. We worked on that thing for numerous times. And we finally found it. We were at the shop in Oceanside, actually, when we found it. And the problem was, we didn't have the plastic fitting is specific to the car, and so was the hose. Right. It was a molded thing. So I said, okay, we got to seal this up. Yeah, we did it by sealing it like with our hand and a rag. I said, so what are we going to get? I got some blue RTV and just gooped it around that thing, and it wasn't even the nicest goop, and sealed it off. I drove that car for years more, sold it, and it's still on there and still sealing the leak, and that's
still doing a good job.
It did its job, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't have to be pretty. No one's going to see it.
Yeah. Well, even with the Cruise uses these plastic cooling hoses, cooling lines, and evap lines. And I had to do the valve cover. It was a bad PCV valve, which is a part of the valve cover. So you have to buy the valve cover. And I bought the GM part, but there's you got to take the injectors off and the plug wires, the coil wires and all that. And then there's a plastic hose that runs along the back. And when I was gingerly taking the valve cover off, the plastic hose cracked. It just broke. I'm like, ah? And I looked online, and they sell them pre-made in all these plastic pipes. I'm like, well, okay, I'm in the shop. It was either a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, no. You're in the shop, and you got to get this car back?
And I can't get this part because it's a GM part. You can't get it in an auto parts store. And I got to get this car home because that's how I got to the shop, right? You talk about that all the time.
Yes, it frightens the socks off me. I don't know how you do it.
Well, I looked around the shop. I said, okay, how can I improvise? And I found a piece of like galvanized, probably quarter inch, I don't even think it was 3/8 pipe. And it was the right length. I stuck the broken ends of the tubing over it, clamped it. I siliconed it, and I put the corrugated wrap over the top of it, and I said, I'll forget this was ever done before I ever get around to changing it. And you know what? That's probably 4 years ago already. I said, yeah, one day I'll... And I think I have it saved in my Amazon search, that hose. I was going to buy it again. And every once in a while, I'll go through my list and just pick two, three, or four things and buy them. I'll put it in order together.
Right.
And every time I see that, I'm like, nah, not this time. it's still working. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
That's hysterical. Oh. But you're right. Well, for some reason, GM loves to do this. They build parts out of plastic and then attach them to a motor, an engine, that's going to get constantly hot.
Right.
And the plastic turns to crud.
That's like when I work on cars, and constantly hot. Under the cup. Brian just said something that Joe was always a proponent of, too. He said, many times you use propane to find the leak. And I know that's very, very common. Joe had done that a lot, used propane. And he would modify the propane valve in the... on a propane torch, he would took the middle of it out, so it would just be this fat dump of propane, not a nice surgical spray. And the same thing, once that gets in, boom, you'll find your leak right away. But don't light the cigar when you're doing that. That's for later.
No, no, don't.
And Brian, stay away from those hot sandwiches when you're doing that, because I think the heat from the peppers could just spontaneously ignite. So I know the way.
Yeah, I remember having that the 3.8 V6 in the Impala, and that had two coolant elbows that happened to be plastic.
Yes.
And you had to pull components apart. They were almost sitting in their spot, like they were not. They weren't clamped down. It's whatever component was attached to the to the engine. That's how you fit the piece in, then you put the component on the other side, and it locked into place by use of that component. So you had to take the component off, whatever it was. I can't remember, water pump or whatever have you. And then you were able to just pull the elbow out.
Right.
Simply like that. And I remember grabbing hold of it, and it snapped right in half.
Yeah.
Because it was actually leaking. I was finding little small puddles of coolant on the driveway.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is this? You know, coolant leaks always make me crazy.
And that's what the Cruise was doing. It was marking its spot better than a Harley Davidson. I mean, this thing, but with antifreeze. I was going through more antifreeze. That's why I said, screw it. I got to get this water pump. I'm buying too much antifreeze. It's too much antifreeze is going through this car, and I'm buying the distilled water and mixing it. I'm like, I'm done. I got to just. And I'd said a while ago, probably a year ago, I said, I couldn't definitively pinpoint the problem, and it ended up there was a couple problems, and I did solve a few of them, but I said, I have to wait for this to get worse before I can really know what I have to fix, and I'm at that point where, water pump, this is going to be it.
That's my technique. You know that.
Yes.
That's my technique.
Sometimes that's all you can do. Right.
Right. You just have to let the noise get worse before you have to find it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like, what's that little squeak? I noticed in the Explorer. I'm driving the Explorer one day recently, this week, and all of a sudden I hear this rattle in the door. I'm like, right at the armrest. I'm like, what the? I always say my theory is new noise. That's all it is. It's just a new noise.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, what is this new noise? What is this? And it was like Tuesday and Wednesday, and I'm thinking I got to pull the whole door panel off, and then I got to go. I'm like going through the whole procedure, the repair in my head. I'm like, oh, wait till next week until it's dry, whatever have you. Right. All of a sudden, driving it now, I don't hear the noise anymore.
Nice.
I don't know what it was.
All right. The mouse found a way out. Well,
I think so.
We're going to find a way out, too. And then don't forget, if you're down at Tobey, stop by the Bandshell to the WHPC people who are there, the staff. And I think they have probably the spin the wheel thing to win a prize, and maybe you get a T-shirt or a CD or something, or you get to say hi and ask them what show they do, because they're probably student volunteers, and it's good to support them, us through them.
See if they have like a kissing booth or something like that.
Right. And now, of course, stay tuned for Kim's show.
More stuff.
Thunder Road is on. Best of Springsteen and the Band, Bruce's guys, and I know our audience likes that. And we'll be back next week. I don't know if we have a guest or not. I'll let you know during the week, Chris, and we'll go from there.
And of course, don't follow us home, especially if you have an altered or do some sort of project. We don't want to even see it. Don't follow us home.
Exactly. All right. So we'll see you next week for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio out. Sis.
See you. Bye.
90.3 WHPC signing off. Bye.